I really think that I'm the one that should be thanking you for this privilege of being here and worshiping with you. I have been blessed already just being in the Lord's presence. I want to say thank you to the praise team for leading us in worship, because I was ministered to, really, by the songs as they spoke to me, as the Lord ministered to me, and also just being able to share in the Lord's table together. It's an honor to come together as brothers and sisters in Christ from many different backgrounds, many different parts of the world, to gather together and have communion, have fellowship together in Christ. So I'm the one that should be thanking you for this opportunity and this privilege of being here and sharing in the Word together. And so I just want to begin with a word of prayer. Lord, we are desperately in need of your wisdom. All of us, Lord, are just hungering to know the truth. We know that you are the truth, that you are our wisdom, and that's why we come. Lord, you have revealed yourself in your word, and this is a gift that we have to share. Thank you for giving us this gift of your word, this wisdom from God that shows us the way to God. And I ask, Lord, that you would grant me wisdom to know how to unfold the truths of this scripture, that you would give all of us wisdom as we hear, that your Holy Spirit would apply the truths of scripture to our lives, and that you would be glorified, Lord, because that's the only reason we're here, is to glorify your name. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. What is wisdom? People all over the world are seeking for wisdom. In every culture, people have sought wisdom. At every period of history, people have wanted to know, what is the best way to live? What should I do? How can I make good decisions in my life? Maybe you're a young person here today, and you're asking those kind of questions. What should I do with my life? What should I study? Where should I go to school? What should my major be, my career? Who should I marry? We need wisdom in so many areas of life. You know, maybe you are a little bit older and you're trying to shoulder many heavy responsibilities in your life, and you're not quite sure how to balance all of the demands in your life. You need wisdom. Maybe you're even a little bit older and you're asking, how should I invest the remaining years of my life on this earth? How should I make the most of my time? You know, I just celebrated my birthday recently, and every time I have a birthday, it makes me think about that. Think, now, how far have I come, and what should I be doing, and how should I be investing my time? We all need wisdom. You know, and it's a good thing that we have a word from God. It is not just something that we're helpless and we don't have wisdom. God has given us his wisdom. And today we're going to be looking in the book of Proverbs. And the book of Proverbs has a theme of wisdom. You know, the whole Bible really is a book of wisdom. It is the story of God's wisdom, how God created the universe by his wisdom. In the very beginning, think of that. God created everything. He is the God of wisdom. But in the Bible, we also see that people turned away from God's way. And very early in the book of Genesis, we see that in the temptation they faced in the Garden of Eden, they decided to pursue their own way. And part of the temptation, it says, and part of the reason they sinned is that they saw the fruit of the tree, that it was desirable to make one wise. And so they wanted to be wise, but they wanted to be wise on their own terms. And we're going to see today, one of the verses in this text says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But Adam and Eve wanted wisdom, but they missed the fear of the Lord. You know, God is so gracious. After that happened, after people fell into sin and they wanted to pursue their own wisdom, God could have just left us alone. He could have just ignored mankind and said, well, they've made their bed, they're going to have to lie in it, to use an old proverb. They're just going to have to suffer the consequences of their sin. And he could have done that, but instead, he made a way that we could be made right with God again. And you know how he did that? God himself came into this world. He became wisdom incarnate. In Jesus Christ, we see that wisdom has taken on human form. And he died on the cross as a sacrifice for us, for you and for me, so that we could be reconciled to God again. And in the end, all things will be made right again, will be renewed. That is God's wisdom. And so really, the Bible is a story of wisdom. But in the passage we're going to look at today, it's in the book of Proverbs. Now, Proverbs is a really good place to go if you want to find wisdom, because the theme of Proverbs is wisdom. It talks more about wisdom than probably any other book in the Bible. And as we know, the whole Bible points us to Jesus Christ. So it shouldn't be any surprise to realize that the book of Proverbs will point us to Jesus Christ, who is wisdom. Now, before we get into our text, I thought it would be interesting to take a look at some proverbs from around the world. You know, every culture has examples of proverbs, and you probably can think of proverbs from your cultural background. But let's just take a look at a few of these proverbs that I have collected, and let's see what kind of wisdom we can find. Now, here's one. I'm not going to comment too much on these proverbs, but they're very interesting. Don't speak unless you can improve on the silence. That's pretty good, don't you think? A Spanish proverb. Here's one. It says, everyone is wise until he speaks. That makes a lot of sense. I think I've met some people like that. I've been that way maybe sometimes too. Here's another one. Not to know is bad. Not to wish to know is worse. Something to think about. Here's another one. He who cannot dance puts the blame on the floor. It's a Hindi proverb. Now, this is for me, okay? So I have been around a lot of floors, and I've never met a floor that can help me to dance the way I need to dance. So this one just kind of describes me. He who cannot dance puts the blame on the floor. It's the floor's fault. That's why I cannot dance. Okay, next. He who conceals his disease cannot expect to be cured. If you won't go to the doctor, you can't get any help. Here's another one. No matter how far you have gone on a wrong road, turn back. And another one. God gives every bird its food, but does not always drop it into the nest. It means we have to go and do something, right? It's a good Danish proverb. Here's another one. A Danish proverb. Oh, this next one is talking about a boat, a ship. Okay, think of an old-style ship that, you know, has the sails. And it says, if there is no wind, row. That makes sense. You know, you have to kind of row sometimes when the wind is not going in your direction. Here's another one. Nodding the head does not row the boat. Okay. Means you can nod, you can agree. Yeah, that's good. But unless you get in there and row, it's not going to do any good, right? And then another one. Better to ask twice than to lose your way once. Now, that's for us guys. We don't like to ask directions, you know. But it's better to ask twice than to lose your way once. And we've probably all been on trips with our family that characterize that. Okay? He who is afraid of asking is ashamed of learning. It's got some wisdom in that, too. And then last one, this is a Chinese proverb. Maybe you know this one. He who asks a question is a fool for 5 minutes. He who does not ask a question remains a fool forever. Well, we don't want to be a fool even for 5 minutes. So we want to dive right into the text and find out what God's wisdom has to say. Now, this section that we're going to look at today is actually the introduction to the entire book of Proverbs. Proverbs 1, 1 to 7 is an introduction to the book. So I'd like to read it together then. Let's read the first seven verses of Proverbs chapter 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to discern the sayings of understanding, to receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the naive, to the youth, knowledge, and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. To understand a proverb and a figure, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now, like a good teacher, Solomon has stated his lesson objectives right at the beginning. Now, I'm a teacher. I teach in the intensive English program at NC State. And as we begin a lesson, we have to know where we're going. We have to know what's the point. Maybe some of you are familiar with military context. If you're on a mission, you have to know what is the point. What is the objective of the mission? Well, Solomon spells it out for us right here at the beginning of the book of Proverbs. Here is the objective. Here's the mission that he's going to be accomplishing. Now, before we get into the passage, we need to talk a little bit about Solomon. Because you might think, now, who is Solomon? Well, you may have heard that he was a very wise man, and you would be right. But Solomon was actually the son of King David. And we can see that here in the text. It says, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. Now, David was the preeminent king of Israel. He was considered to be just the best king in Israel's history. And actually, that is significant because Jesus, the Messiah, came through the line of David and Solomon. So King Jesus was in the line of King David and King Solomon. But Solomon was selected by David to succeed him after David was going to die. And there was a little power struggle there at the end, but eventually Solomon was set in place as the king over Israel. And I'm just going to summarize a section from 1 Kings chapter 3, but you can follow along there if you like. But after Solomon became king and he was established in his kingdom, it says in 1 Kings 3, verse 3, now Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of his father David, except he sacrificed and burned incense on the high places. The king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on the altar. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream at night, and God said, ask what you wish me to give you. Now think about it. If God came to you and said, what do you want? What would you say? Just ask for anything you want. Well, that's what he asked Solomon. And Solomon's answer was very interesting. Because Solomon said, starting in verse 6, you have shown great loving kindness to your servant David, my father, according as he walked before you in truth and righteousness and uprightness of heart towards you, and you have reserved for him this great loving kindness that you have given him a son to sit on his throne, as it is this day. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, yet I am but a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. Your servant is in the midst of your people, which you have chosen, a great people who are too many to be numbered or counted. So give your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, to discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? So Solomon asked God for wisdom. Now hold on to that thought because we're going to come back to that later. That Solomon's request was for wisdom. And we'll see that God did give him wisdom. But God said, because you have not asked for long life and the death of your enemies and great wealth, but you asked for wisdom, I'm going to give you wisdom and all that other stuff too. And we find in the book of 1 Kings that that came to pass. That Solomon was a very rich and influential and powerful man. But most of all, he was known as a wise man. And in chapter 4, starting in verse 29, it says, "Now God gave Solomon wisdom and very great discernment and breadth of mind like the sand that is on the seashore. Solomon's wisdom surpassed the wisdom of all the sons of the east and all the wisdom of Egypt. For he was wiser than all men, than Ethan the Ezrahite, Heman, Chalcol, and Darda, the sons of Mahal. And his fame was known in all the surrounding nations. He also spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. He spoke of trees, from the cedar that is in Lebanon, even to the hyssop that grows on the wall. He spoke also of animals and birds and creeping things and fish. Men came from all the peoples to hear the wisdom of Solomon, from all the kings of the earth who had heard of his wisdom." Maybe you've heard the term a Renaissance man. Well, Solomon was a Renaissance man way before the Renaissance. Okay, he knew about so many different things, and he wrote Proverbs. And that's what we're going to read about today. Now, in the book of Proverbs, one thing that you will notice, and by the way, let me just commend to you one kind of reading plan that you could use. I know there are many different ways that you can read the Bible, but one very helpful way that you can get into the book of Proverbs, have you noticed that Proverbs has 31 chapters? And you know that a lot of months have 30 or 31 days? You could take one chapter in Proverbs for each day of the month. Like on the first day of the month, you could read Proverbs 1. On the second day of the month, you could read Proverbs 2. Today's the fourth day of the month. What chapter would we read? Proverbs 4. It's not hard to figure out. So that's one way that you could get through the whole book of Proverbs in a month. But as you're reading through the book of Proverbs, one thing you'll notice is that there's two primary divisions in Proverbs. There's two primary sections. Chapter 1 to 9 is one section that deals with instruction. It's called the Book of Instruction. Chapters 10 through 31 is what we call the Book of Sentences. And this is where you see the actual Proverbs that we normally think of that has the very short sayings. Sometimes they're two-line sayings and they're parallel and they give just a very short idea. There's a couple of examples that you could see in Proverbs 15, verse 1. "A gentle answer turns away wrath, but harsh words stirs up anger." Or in Proverbs 22, verse 1, "A good name is to be more desired than great wealth. Favor is better than silver and gold." So that's the kind of Proverbs you're probably used to thinking about when you hear Proverbs, like the ones that we showed you, the international Proverbs. Kind of a short saying that just represents kind of a distillation of wisdom. It represents just a nugget of wisdom. Well, chapter 10 to 31 is mostly that way. And it's very beautiful Hebrew poetry. But we're going to focus more on chapters 1 to 9 today. Now, we're not going to do the whole 9 chapters, don't worry. But I just want to focus on the introduction to the first 9 chapters of Proverbs. It's really the introduction to the whole book. And you're going to find that chapters 1 through 9 is like the introduction to Proverbs. And as you read chapters 1 to 9, you will see that it's like a father giving advice to his son. Several times, if you just walk through the book of Proverbs, chapter 2, verse 1 says, "My son, if you'll receive my words." Chapter 3, verse 1, "My son, do not forget my teaching." Chapter 4, "Hear, O sons, the instruction of a father, and give attention that you may gain understanding." Chapter 5, "My son, give attention to my wisdom, incline your ear to my understanding." Chapter 6, "My son, if you have become surety for your neighbor, have given a pledge for a stranger." And it goes on like that. Chapter 7, "My son, keep my words." And it goes on like that. So he's giving instructions to his son. He's giving instructions about how to live a wise life. He's telling him how to avoid following wicked men, how to watch out for immorality, immoral women. There's a lot of teaching in that first section. And it's almost like that we're getting a glimpse into the living room of Solomon. There he is giving instructions to his son. And we're getting to listen in as he's instructing his son about how to live the right way. Well, guess what? We can take advantage of that too. Those words of wisdom which Solomon gave to his son are also for us. And so as we get into the text, I want you to realize that we are having a unique opportunity to hear from Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, as he's giving advice, giving instructions to his son. And let's take a closer look at that then. And then one of the things that we'll see in this is that Proverbs tells us what wisdom looks like. That Proverbs actually points us to Jesus Christ, who is the embodiment of wisdom. And as we begin, we're going to see three questions in Proverbs 1, 1 to 7. What does wisdom look like? Number 2, who needs wisdom? And number 3, where does wisdom come from? Well, in the first section, we're going to talk about what wisdom looks like. Now, as we read verses 2 through 6, we're going to see several different synonyms for wisdom. So, if you'll back up one slide, I want you to see if you can find the synonyms for wisdom as I read through them together. Starting with verse 2, to know wisdom and instruction, to discern the sayings of understanding, to receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the naive, to the youth, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear an increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. To understand a proverb and a figure, the words of the wise and their riddles. Did you see all of the synonyms for wisdom? Now, if this were a classroom setting, I would probably ask for volunteers, and you could kind of give me the synonyms. We won't take time to do that today, but let's just talk about them together. There are several synonyms for wisdom. First of all, it says to know wisdom and instruction. Instruction has the idea of correction or reproof. This is kind of the negative side of it, where if someone is not going the right way, you have to correct them, and you have to bring them back to the right way. That's what this word instruction is all about. Then we see it talks about the sayings of understanding. Now, understanding here is a word that means discernment. You're discerning between good and bad, knowing the difference between right and wrong. It's exercising good judgment about things. Then we see in verse 3, it talks about receiving instruction in wise behavior. Now, this word is talking about practical wisdom, about how to be successful in life, how to make good choices so that you are successful in life. Then, in verse 4, it talks about prudence and discretion. Now, this word, it kind of sounds like you're scheming, and it can be used in a negative way, but here, prudence just means making good plans, making good choices about how you're going to plan your life. Prudence and discretion. And then, if you'll skip down a couple of verses, it talks about knowledge. In verse 4, it says, to the youth, knowledge and discretion. And then in verse 5, a wise man will hear an increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. This word knowledge and learning is related to knowing the truth. Now, we said before, when you actually know the truth, you know God, because God is the truth. He is the embodiment of truth. And so all of these words that we see in this passage are really pictures of what wisdom looks like. And actually, I wanted to share with you one interesting thing about why Solomon wanted to seek wisdom. If you look in Proverbs chapter 4, we see something very interesting about Solomon and the instruction he's giving to his son. We're going to read just a few verses together. It says, hear, O sons, the instruction of a father, and give attention that you may gain understanding. For I give you sound teaching, do not abandon my instruction. When I was a son to my father, tender and the only son in the sight of my mother, then he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast to my words, keep my commandments and live. Now stop right there. Remember who was Solomon's father? David. Okay, so Solomon is talking about his own childhood. Solomon is talking about when he was a boy, some of the things that his father taught him. He says, when I was a son to my father, in verse 3, tender and the only son in the sight of my mother, then he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast to my words, keep my commandments and live, acquire wisdom, acquire understanding. Who's talking here? David is telling Solomon this. This is about when Solomon was a boy. When Solomon was young, his father, David, is saying, acquire wisdom, acquire understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will guard you. Love her, and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is acquire wisdom. Isn't that interesting? What's the beginning of wisdom? Seek wisdom. The first way to find wisdom is to seek it, to seek wisdom. The beginning of wisdom is acquire wisdom, and with all your acquiring, get understanding. Prize her, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a garland of grace. She will present you with a crown of beauty. So I want you to get the picture here. Solomon is sharing the advice that his father, David, gave to him. Now, you know, as a parent, I think I can speak for most of us parents here today, maybe all of us parents, that we want to teach our children the right way. We really want to guide them and share the wisdom that we have learned over the years. And in this section of Proverbs, as I mentioned, Proverbs 1 to 9, we see a picture of that. Solomon is sharing with his son how to pursue wisdom. Now, where did he get that idea? Where did he get that desire for wisdom? Well, he got it from his father. David said, you need to acquire wisdom. That's the most important thing. So why is it that when God met Solomon and said, ask for whatever you want, the first thing that came to his mind was wisdom? Why? Why did he ask for wisdom? Because it had been taught to him from a very early age, that wisdom is the most important thing. So I think we have to give a lot of credit to David here. David is the one that instilled this desire for wisdom into his son. And so parents, let me encourage you, the greatest thing that you can do for your children is to give them a desire and a passion for wisdom. Not just education. Not just knowledge and information. Those are good and those are helpful. But wisdom is the thing that will help us to know how to live. And wisdom means knowing Jesus Christ. So let's move back to Proverbs chapter 1 then and talk about this wisdom. We say, what does wisdom look like? Well, it looks like all of those synonyms that we talked about. But one of the things that we can see very clearly is if we have to seek that wisdom, it recognizes that we don't have the wisdom that we need. Now, I mentioned before that ever since the Garden of Eden, ever since Adam and Eve turned away from God and they wanted to seek their own wisdom, mankind has had a basic problem, and that is we lack wisdom. We lack true wisdom. And it shows that we are separated from God. We're separated from His wisdom. And that is why we need to be instructed in how to seek wisdom. And so the first thing that we see here is, what does wisdom look like? Well, it looks like instruction and understanding and prudence and discretion and knowledge and learning and all of those things. So I want to ask you a question. What kind of wisdom are you pursuing? What are you basing your life on? Are you seeking a kind of wisdom that just builds up yourself? Are you seeking just education and knowledge? Is that what you're building your life on? Or are you seeking the true wisdom that comes only from God? Let's look at the second question then. The second question is, who needs wisdom? Well, if you look in verse 4, One of the purposes of this book of Proverbs is to give prudence to the naive, to the youth, knowledge and discretion. So the naive are one kind of people who need wisdom. Now the word naive is sometimes described in other translations as the simple. Sometimes we talk about a person who is simple, a person that just doesn't know. It's kind of like that Nigerian proverb that says that not to know is bad, but not to wish to know is worse. This is not a person who doesn't even want to know. This is just a person who doesn't have experience. They're younger. Maybe they haven't experienced a lot of things in life. So they're naive. So this book of Proverbs is for the naive. And it's also for the youth. I know a lot of you are here today that you are young and you are still in school and you're still learning many things. Well, this book of Proverbs is for you. But I want you to understand that we're not just trying to pressure our young people today, because it goes on and tells us who else this book of Proverbs is for. Look at verse 5. This is kind of like a parenthesis in the middle of this section. It just says, a wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. Now think about that. If you're a wise person, then you really don't need any more wisdom, right? No. All people need wisdom. And this says that the wise man is going to seek more wisdom. The man of understanding is going to acquire wise counsel. One of my favorite verses in Proverbs, Proverbs 13:20, says, he who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. So you know what that means? If you want to be wise, just hang around wise people. And if you're wise, then maybe other people will hang around you and they will learn from your wisdom. So who needs wisdom? Well, we know that the naive and the young people need wisdom, but those who are wise, those who have understanding, they need wisdom too. So guess what? That includes all of us. We're all somewhere in that range, right? And because all of us need wisdom, it just shows us that all of us need Christ. Christ is the embodiment of wisdom. And because all of us need wisdom, the gospel is for everyone. Everyone needs the salvation that comes from Jesus Christ. Now, I want to show you another passage in Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 2, which really describes what the pursuit of wisdom looks like. Let's read Proverbs 2 for just a minute, the first few verses. What does it mean to pursue wisdom? What does it look like? My son, if you will receive my words and treasure my commandments within you, make your ear attentive to wisdom, incline your heart to understanding, for if you cry for discernment, lift your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. Does it sound like that finding wisdom is easy? No, it takes effort. It takes discipline. It takes energy that you have to receive the words of God. You have to treasure the commandments within you. Make your ear attentive to wisdom. Incline your heart to understanding. For if you cry for discernment, lift your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, if you seek wisdom with all your heart, you'll find it. But it will take seeking wisdom with all your heart. You know, there was a story told about Socrates. Socrates, the wise Greek philosopher. Someone came to him one day, a proud young man, who said, Socrates, I want to learn wisdom. And Socrates said, okay, come with me. And so they walked out to the edge of town, and they just kept walking. And he said, Socrates, I would like to have wisdom. And he said, okay, just come on. And so they walked and they walked until they got to the edge of the water, the coastline, the beach. And he said, what are we doing? He said, just come on. So he walked out into the water until he was chest deep in water. And so the young man said again, Socrates, I want to find wisdom. And so Socrates took this young man and plunged his head under the water and held him there for about 30 seconds. And then he pulled him back out, and the man sputtering and saying, what's going on? He said, what do you want? He said, I want wisdom. So he pushed him down under the water again, this time for a little bit longer, maybe 40 seconds. And the man's panicking, and he pulls him back out again, and he said, Socrates asked him, what do you want? He said, I want wisdom. He pushed him down under the water again, this time for maybe 50 seconds, even longer. And he pulled him out, and he said, what do you want? And the man said, I want air. And he said, when you desire wisdom as much as you long for air, you will have it. What about you? Do you long for wisdom as much as a drowning man is longing for just a breath of air? That is what it's going to take. The good news is it's available. The wisdom that we find in God's Word is available for you. But it is not something that just comes easy, that you just have to say, oh, well, you know, I'll just kind of be half-hearted about it. This says you need to seek God's wisdom with all your heart. So who needs wisdom? The naive, the young, but also the wise and understanding person needs wisdom. Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 1 then and look at one more question. In verse 7, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now, this verse is like the theme of the book of Proverbs. This tells us where wisdom comes from. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Now, the word fear here doesn't mean that you're kind of cowering and you're afraid and you're terrified. This is a word that means awe and respect. It's the kind of respect you have for something that is great and massive. It's kind of like when you're walking over a bridge that maybe you've been up to Grandfather Mountain or some great place where my wife doesn't like to walk across these bridges. But anyway, if you're walking across a bridge and you just kind of sense how high you are, you're kind of respecting that the people have built this bridge adequately to support you, but you still have just a little bit of awe and fear about this whole thing, right? When we come to God, the fear that we have is the awe and reverence that He deserves because of how great He is. You know, C.S. Lewis said one time that a person who comes to God must recognize how awesome and how superior God is. He is so superior that we should see ourselves as almost like nothing in comparison to Him. He went on to say that a proud man is always looking down at everyone else. But if you're looking down, you're not able to see something greater that is above you. And that's the picture that we see here. This is not an act of pride that we're trying to think how wonderful we are. We humble ourselves before God. The fear of the Lord is an attitude of humility. It's an attitude of surrender, surrendering our life to Him. And when it says the fear of the Lord, this word Lord is in Hebrew is the word for the covenant God, the God who has revealed Himself to His people. He has revealed Himself doing many mighty miracles and acts in the Old Testament, but He has also revealed Himself in Christ. This is the covenant God. The fear of this God is the beginning of wisdom. This is not just the wisdom of the world that tries to just kind of figure out what's the best choice to make. This is the true wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And notice it also says, fools despise wisdom and instruction. Here we already see the two ways that Proverbs uses so often Did you know there are two ways in life? There are two ways you can go. You can follow God's way, or you can follow man's way. You can follow God's way, which is wisdom, or you can follow man's way, which is foolishness. And that's going to wind up in destruction. The best illustration I can think of for this is told by Jesus himself. You remember the story of the wise man and the foolish man that he tells in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 27? Let's read it together. This is at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus has given this great sermon showing what God's plan is and how God is calling his people to follow him. At the end of that sermon, verse 24, Jesus says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house. And yet, it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." Think of this. The man of wisdom, wisdom incarnate, has just given his Sermon on the Mount. And he says, if we want to be wise, we have to build our life on his teaching. Not just in here, not just knowing it in your head, but he says, if you hear these words of mine and act on them, then you can be compared to a wise man. But if you choose not to act on them, then you'll be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. Now let me just ask you, if a storm is coming, what is the wisest move to make? You take shelter, right? You find some safe place to get to. You remember last week, we had some tornadoes that were moving across the U.S., were you watching the weather like I was? There were several days where we weren't quite sure what was going to happen. There was a line of storms that caused over 30 people to lose their lives last week. Now, here in Raleigh, we didn't have too much problem. But the tornadoes, if a tornado is coming, what is the wisest move you can make? Take shelter. Find some safe place. Well, what I'm saying to you today is, God's judgment is coming. We are all sinners. We are all in worthy of God's judgment. His judgment is coming. And so I'm telling you, take shelter. Find a safe place. And that safe place is Jesus. Jesus says, if you hear my words and put them into practice, then you will be like a man who has founded his house on a rock. And so no matter when the storms come and the winds blow, your house will stand because it's founded on a rock. So where does wisdom come from? Of course, it comes from God. Now, in conclusion, you have a choice to make. I have a choice to make. All of us have a choice to make about how we will build our lives. Will we follow the wisdom of this world? The wisdom that takes us all the way back to the Garden of Eden, that says, I'm going to follow this because it looks like it could make one wise. It looks like it might be good for me. It looks like maybe that's a good idea. Are you going to build your life on things that just seem to be kind of good ideas? Proverbs says, there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end is the way of death. Will you follow that way, or will you come to God in humble submission and put your trust in Jesus Christ, who is the way of wisdom? Now, some of you may say, I've already done that. I am already a believer in Christ. And if so, I say that is wonderful. But remember, walking in wisdom is not just a matter of sitting back and relaxing. We must pursue Christ every day. Remember what Paul said in Philippians chapter 3? He already knew Christ, but But he said, my desire is to know him. You know Christ, and you follow on to know him more and more and more. I'm going to close with an invitation from Lady Wisdom. I mentioned that this section, Proverbs 1 to 9, is about instruction. The last chapter, in chapter 9, there's a contrast between Lady Wisdom and Lady Folly. And I want you to hear the invitation that wisdom is offering to you. And as you hear wisdom speaking to you, I want you to hear Jesus Christ calling you to come and follow him. Listen to it. It says, wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out her seven pillars. She has prepared her food. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. Think of the action, the preparation that wisdom has made. Jesus Christ has made preparation for you. He's given his life for you. He has prepared a banquet for you. Verse 3 says, she has sent out her maidens. She calls from the tops of the heights of the city. Whoever is naive, let him turn in here. To him who lacks understanding, she says, come, eat of my food and drink of the wine I have mixed. Forsake your folly and live, and proceed in the way of understanding. And that's my invitation to you. Seek wisdom. Seek the one true wisdom, who is Jesus Christ. He is the one who gave his life for you. He is the one who knows how life should be. He is the one who came to restore us to that place of unity with God that we lost in the Garden of Eden. Through Christ, we can know the wisdom of God. So remember, the fear of the Lord, the one true God, the God who has revealed himself in Jesus Christ, that is the beginning of wisdom. And I encourage you, I urge you, I challenge you to seek that wisdom, to build your life on God's wisdom. Spend time in God's Word, because this is the book of wisdom that can show you the way to life. Let's pray. Dear God,